Mark chapter 13, and we'll read from verse 32. Now concerning that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, except the Father. Watch. Be alert, for you don't know when the time is coming. It is like a man on a journey who left his house, gave authority to his slaves, gave each one his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to be alert. Therefore, be alert, since you don't know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight, or at the crowing of the rooster, or early in the morning. Otherwise, he might come suddenly and find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to everyone, be alert. Or your version may have, watch. And I want to bring something that has been brought to you for on a number of occasions in the past. It may be a familiar encouragement to us, but it is a necessary repetition, I believe, from time to time. And that is the need for us all to watch or to be alert, whatever your version says. It is a command to every single disciple of the Lord Jesus. Verse 37, what I say to you, I say to all, be alert. In that reading that we've had, there are three occasions when that command is given to be alert, verses 34 to 37. And there's one other occasion in verse 33, so four times in total, and there are two slightly different Greek words that are used. In verses 34 to 37, when the scripture tells us to watch, it means to be vigilant, to be awake. And then in verse 33, it means to keep guard or to keep awake. So there are three aspects to this matter of watching: a vigilance, a need to be awake, and a guarding as well. Now, in the scriptures, some, particularly in the history of Israel, are given a particular task of watching. So you have the watchman on the walls, mentioned on a number of occasions in the Old Testament. And the job of the watchman, of course, was to be alert for danger. It's a fairly lonely job. It's a job which is usually done at night time, and therefore there is a temptation to fall asleep. But that watchman has to stay on the alert continually without any kind of distraction. I have a friend who, as part of his service in Northern Ireland during the Troubles in the last century, his job was to watch the computer screens for a whole day. That was his job, from nine to five. There was nothing apparently to do except look at these computer screens. But of course the computer screens were there to reflect any kind of activity that was going on. And he had to be on the alert for anything that smacked of danger or any terrorist incident, etc. So there are those particularly given that task. There was the watchtower that was built particularly in places of where there was a harvest of wheat or vineyards. There was always a watchtower there. And the purpose of the watchtower was not so much to look out for physical enemies, but to look out for foxes and other animals that would come and steal the grapes. The birds pinching our raspberries. We could do with a watchtower. Here in Mark chapter 13, it's the role of the doorkeeper who has to be on the alert in verse 34. Over our holiday period last week, we went to a museum, an outdoor museum called Crocodiles of the World, which I strongly recommend. Quite what that had to do with the enclosure with meerkats, I'm not sure. It's the meerkats I want to speak about. You've probably seen them on television or on a YouTube clip or whatever. I mean, they're the most amazing animals, aren't they, really? And what just struck me, we were there for 2 hours and we saw the meerkats near the beginning of our visit there. And they're all having a great time foraging and doing whatever meerkats do, except for one. and he's sitting on his ant hill, and he's sitting there just like this. For the sake of the tape, I am pretending to be a meerkat. And what he does is he just looks, and he's just doing that, as if there's going to be a danger from the offices on the left, or the people looking on straight ahead, or the cafe on the right. But that's all he's doing. And he was doing that when we got there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He was still doing it at 4 o'clock when we left. I'm assuming it's the same meerkat. But they do change jobs occasionally. But that is the role of this little animal, is to be a scout. He's there to look for danger. Friends, all of us are given a command to watch. The context of this particular chapter, of course, is the return of the Lord Jesus. Verse 33, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. And the whole of the chapter is all about the return of the Lord and the events coming up to that. And you need to understand what the meaning of this word time. You know, there are two ideas, both in Hebrew and in Greek, when we talk about time. The one that is particularly here, one is to do with a sense of how long something is. The other is the sense of the features of that time. And that is the word that is particularly used here. So we won't know the exact time of the Lord's return. The scripture tell us that. But we are to be on the alert for the features around that particular time, or it's very often translated as season, when this will take place. And we are to keep alert, of course, for all these things. Now, really what I want to do in the last time that is available to me is to speak, really, about the areas where we need to watch, each one of us, and how we are to do it. So there are the two things there. So, first of all, the areas of our lives, or areas, matters that we need to watch. There's an awful lot to cover, but I'm not going to try and cover it all. I'm just going to bring to you what I feel the Lord has put upon my heart for this morning, and just leave the Holy Spirit to apply it as he wills. The scriptures say that we are to watch, first of all, for our personal lives. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 says that it is now is the time for us to awake. Let me just find the particular verse here. Romans chapter 13 and from verse 11. Do this, knowing the time. So this is again speaking to all believers. Knowing the time, that it is the hour to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And actually, if you just take the matter of being awake in the sense of watching, we know from the scriptures how important it is that when the Lord returns, that the people are of God are awake and alert. And you know, there is no need for any of us to be asleep. There is no need for any of us to be like the ostrich, putting our heads in the sand and simply being unaware or unconcerned about the events that are taking place around the time of the Lord's return. Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. It is time, my friends, for us all to be awake. It really is. The implications of that, I'm going to go on and mention some of the other scriptures after Romans 13 that we've just read. But in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15, there's no need to turn there, but it says, blessed is the one who keeps his garments, guards his garments. Make sure, i.e. that your garments are in tip-top condition, so that we are not found to be ashamed or even naked, it says, when the Lord Jesus returns. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, I'll read it accurately. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments. Now, if we are Christians, we have all been given garments. We have been given, in particular, a robe of righteousness, what the Bible calls a robe of righteousness, garments of salvation. But you know, we need to make sure that that robe of righteousness is kept white, is kept clean, that there's no tear, that there's no stain, that there's no marring. So that we are not found to be ashamed. This is why it says, make sure the day of the Lord, says it's going to come like a thief. Make sure you're ready for his return. So my friend, how is your state with the Lord? Are you in that right relationship to him? You may have been a Christian for a number of years, but as you're sitting here this morning, are your garments clean? Or is there a stain? Is there something that you just need to get right with the Lord about? Don't live with a stain. Don't live with a spoil and think, oh, well, it doesn't matter. I'll deal with another occasion. Make sure that that relationship to the Lord is kept right and pure so that you have no need to be ashamed when the Lord returns. And of course, none of us knows when our time is going to be anyway. So we need to watch with regard to our personal lives. This matter of the timing of things, this particular word that I mentioned, is very often translated as seasons. And the Bible talks about the times and the seasons. So that in the Old Testament, it's a Hebrew concept as well as a Greek one, of course. Ecclesiastes 3 speaks about there is a time to every purpose under heaven. There is a season. And friends, I do believe that there is a season for various things in our own lives. And we need to discern what that season is. So, for example, it may be for some of you that this is a particular time, a particular period in your life when you have opportunity to get to know the Lord and to get to know the scriptures. Don't waste that season. Don't think to yourself, I will put off getting into the scriptures until I'm in my 70s, or not even that, until I'm a little bit older. Friends, when the little bit older time season comes, you won't have it. The opportunity will not be there. Don't waste this time that you have. And maybe I'm particularly talking or thinking about some of you younger ones. Don't waste the opportunity that you have to get to know the Lord and to get a firm foundation into your life at this particular stage in your life. But I don't want to be spiritual about it merely. There are other times and seasons in our lives. There are seasons when we need to get out and get work. There are seasons when we need to make relationships. There are seasons when we need to make sure that those relationships progress as the Lord wants us to. You know, don't put things off. Discern, watch, and don't try and do now what actually should be dealt with in a year's time or 6 months' time. Make sure that whatever is the particular season for your life now, that you do it. There is a time, and for every purpose under heaven, there is a time to be born, there's a time to die, there's a time for gathering stones, there's a time for this, there's a time for that, there's a time for the other. Paraphrase of Ecclesiastes 3. Have a look at it. It'll give you some ideas as to the kind of things you need to be thinking about and when in particular to do them. Now, 2 Corinthians 6 says, is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. What does that mean? Sometimes we speak about it as if any time between the time that we've been born till the time that we die, that is the acceptable time. And people apply that as being, you can come to the Lord at any time during that period, because now is the acceptable time. This is the period of the gospel. And of course, that is absolutely true in one sense. But I do think as well that there are seasons. And when Paul is writing to the Corinthians and saying, now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation, what he's really saying is this: now is the time for you to respond to the Lord. So can I apply it like this, friend, please? If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and as your Lord, and you know that he's speaking to you, and you know that he's challenging you about committing your life to him, now is the season to respond. Don't put it off. God in his mercy may extend that time. But don't somehow think that you can do it any time you like. Can think of one young person who I was told about by the same friend I told you about, who was looking out for the working in Northern Ireland, actually. And he had an opportunity to talk to one young man about the Lord Jesus who dismissed it and was quite scathing about the gospel and quite rude to him. And my friend appealed with him and said, no, you know, give it some thought. You know, you haven't always got the time. He dismissed it out of hand. That young man, I think a few days later, went to the railway station to catch a train. He stepped too near the platform and a train went past and he was killed. That was it. You know, we don't know when that season is going to end. How much or how long that period of time is going to be. Maybe there's something else that the Lord is speaking to you about. Maybe there's something else that the Lord is challenging you about. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time to respond. Don't put it off any longer. This is all part of watching. The Lord commands us all to watch. We're to watch, of course, in all things. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, Paul says to this young elder, youngish anyway, watch in all things, be alert in everything. So there should be no area of our lives where we switch off and somehow exclude God and somehow think, well, there's nothing to be awake about here. No, we need to be on the alert all the time. So that's the first area where we need to watch, that the scripture tells us to watch. We need to watch wider than ourselves, out to the church, both our own local assembly, if you come to Bethel, fine. Here at Bethel Christian Assembly, otherwise whatever church you attend. Be alert. You know, there is one church in the book of Revelation which was commended for testing those who said that they were apostles and yet weren't. So don't just leave it to the eldership or to those who, or the leadership, or those who appear to be more spiritually mature and say, oh, well, they'll do the watching on my behalf. No, you must learn to watch. You must learn to test. And the scripture speaks about watching in order to strengthen the things which remain. Again, speaking about another church in the book of Revelation. You know, the state of the church there at Sardis was that things were about to die. And the Lord's word was, look out, be awake. Don't just let them die, but strengthen what remains. And again, this is a wake-up call for some of us. Not only for our own lives personally, but to be aware of things that are going on, either in our own churches or in the national church, in the wider scene. We are living in particular days when it's very easy. There's a kind of, if I can call it like this, well, the Bible talks about a spirit of slumber that has come upon many of us as God's people. And this need for vigilance is absolutely critical. And of course, another church, the Laodicean church, the end of chapter 3. Here is a church that if you were to ask them in these terms, are you awake? Are you watching? Are you alert? They would say, oh, absolutely. And yet they weren't aware of the fact that the Lord Jesus, who is the head of the church, without whom they could do nothing and were nothing, but that Lord Jesus was outside the door of the church. I mean, friends, put it like this. If because we don't watch, the presence of the Lord goes from our midst here at Bethel, and as it were, the Lord Jesus stands outside this particular hall, and we're all having a great time, enjoying our fellowship or whatever, and we aren't aware of the fact, actually, that the Lord is outside and he's knocking. He's saying, excuse me, I want to come in. I'm not present. Friends, do you see the need to watch? The need to listen? The need to judge things rightly here? Oh, there's such a desperate need. And if I've mentioned three churches out of the seven in the book of Revelation, I think there is some relevance for us in the church these days, don't you? Well, a few of you agree. The rest of you, that's all right. We need to be watching wider than that as well, concerning the times in which we live. The days in which we live. Let me read to you. First Timothy 4:1. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaks expressly, particularly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That's what it says. So don't be surprised if some do. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There is a demonic activity that is taking place, trying to get as many people away from the Lord Jesus as possible. And there are demonic doctrines that are designed to do just that. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, etc. The second epistle to Timothy, again, the first verse says this: this know also, that in the last times, that is in the times running up to the time around the return of the Lord Jesus, perilous times will come. Friends, these are going to be increasingly the days in which we live. What does that word perilous means? Stressful. Are you feeling stressed? The number of people I seem to talk to, oh, I'm just so stressed out at the moment. Well, it's partly the days in which we live, actually. The word means violent, dangerous, difficult. These are the days in which we live. Friends, we mustn't just simply switch off from that or somehow think that we can ignore these days and forget about them. We have to face up to them. And it's only as we watch, only as we are vigilant and awake and guard, that we will actually learn how to live in such times as these. And speaking again about the church, that Paul says the time will come when people will not endure sound teaching, but they will heap to themselves, after their own lusts, teachers having itching ears. You know, it's one of the dangers of YouTube. You know, you simply find the preacher or the teacher or the philosopher, whoever it is, that you happen to agree with or who you happen to like. And you can switch off from everybody else. Oh, friends, don't do it. Watch. And fourthly, going back to Mark chapter 13. If you've moved away from there, I'm sorry. If you've stayed put, let's have a look at it again. I didn't read much of the chapter, but if you go back, it speaks in verse 28. The Lord Jesus says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. And in one other gospel, he says, learn a parable of the fig tree and all the trees. The trees speak of nations. The chapter speaks about the upheaval of nations, the pestilence, earthquakes, famine, difficulties. But the fig tree in particular speaks about the nation of Israel. And these particular verses here talk about the beginning of that fruitfulness, the beginning of that replanting of that fig tree. Well, it's been dead. For years, for centuries, and that begins to come alive again. And there begins to be fruitfulness, and there begins to be the leaves. You know that summer is near. And what the Lord Jesus is saying is, keep your eyes on what happens in Israel. Keep your eyes on what happens in the Middle East. That will be God's time clock for the return of the Lord Jesus. That is one of the reasons, perhaps the most significant reason, why I personally think that the days in which we live are particularly relevant, really, to what we're looking at this morning. And they are indeed, as the Bible calls them, the the end of the end, the last of the last days, shall we say. So really what I'm saying is, please don't switch off and think that whatever happens out there, well, that's for the politicians. Oh, God forbid. That's for people who are more intelligent than me. Your intelligence is not required. Your willingness to discern is. Your willingness to learn is. And it's the Lord who can give you that understanding. So having just touched on a few areas where we need to watch, let's think about how we are to do it. Well, I've written down five things. First of all, let's continue really what I'm saying. Be awake, be aware. Don't switch off, don't bury your head. You know, keep up with what's going on in the world. Keep up with what's going on in the nation. And as you look at what's going on, as you hear what's going on, just have a quick prayer and say, Lord, please, I want to watch. I want my eyes to be open. Please help me to understand how you see these things. Secondly, would you notice in Mark 13, as in many other passages in the Bible, Jesus says here, take heed, watch and pray. You cannot watch effectively without it leading then to pray. That is why the Lord wants us to watch. It's so that we may pray. And friends, we cannot pray intelligently and correctly if we don't watch. The two go together. And in fact, 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 7 says, be sober. Well, let's just stop there. Literally, be free from intoxicants. Perhaps we need to stop there as well, because I said to you I might go back to that passage in Romans 13, and I think now is the time to do it, because the Lord is really saying, if we are to watch, we must be very careful that nothing clouds our vision and our understanding. So in Romans chapter 13, having said that it is high time to awake out of sleep, he says the night is far spent, the day is at hand. That is the return of the Lord Jesus. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armour of light. The works of darkness will dull our ability to be able to watch. So friends, if you engage in sinful practice, if you are sort of so involved in the world and in the things of the world that it overwhelms you, you're not going to be able to watch. We are instead to put on the armour of light. There is a battle on, and you need to be protected. And light is to do with goodness and righteousness and truth. We are called to be the light of the world now. We are called to be light in the Lord. And it is because of our calling that this matter of the Lord's return should not catch us out. We are not to be overtaken by the Lord's return as if it was a thief in the night, because we're not to be asleep. We are to put on the armour of light. We are to walk decently. We're to live honestly. We're to live uprightly. If you don't do that, it will intoxicate you. It will blind. It will cloud your vision. You will not be able to watch. Any activity, please note this, some of you may be rioting, revel. None of you, of course, would riot. But what about revelry? The club culture, etc. Drunkenness, don't do it. It clouds your thinking. Illicit intercourse, including cohabitation. Wantonness, lasciviousness. Covetousness, if you like, not in strife and envying. Friends, do you see the challenge? You know, if we're going to watch, these things should not be part of our lives as believers. But instead, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not make provision for that old sinful nature. So, we are to be awake and to be aware. 1 Peter, going back there, be sober. I've expanded it by looking at that scripture in Romans 13. Be free from intoxicants. Be sober and watch for the purpose of prayer. Watch unto prayer. And if you do all those other activities in Romans 13, you're not going to be able to watch and you're not going to be able to pray. But friends, don't just be a watcher, be a prayer. The next thing is, guard yourselves. Actually, we'll come to that at the end. The next thing is, anoint your eyes with eye salve. I'm quoting from the end of Revelation chapter 3. And I think it's verse 19. That same Laodicean church who thought they had it all. The Lord says to them as one of his threefold counsels to them. He says, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. That's why I said it's nothing to do with intellectual understanding. It's to do with eye salve. And the Lord has the eye salve. The Lord can enable you and I to see. There is an anointing for that. And you go to the Lord and you ask him to give it to you. It's called the Holy Spirit. You pray that the Lord would give you spiritual understanding. Not only as you're looking at the scriptures, but as you consider your own life. As you consider maybe the decisions you have to make. As you consider what's going on in the church. As you consider what's going on in the world. Ask the Lord for that eye salve. So that you're not just coming at things with your own opinion. Or other people's opinions. But rather you're coming with a God-given ability to be able to understand. A God-given ability to be able to see. And then thirdly, I think this is the number we're on, I think. Mark 13. The Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave his authority to his servants and to everybody his work. Get on with what the Lord has given you to do. Please notice, it's every man his work. It's what the Lord has given you to do. You're not just simply to go around doing whatever. We are to repent from dead works, the Bible tells us, and we're to be doing the works that the Lord has for us to do. That is all part of watching. Watching is not just sitting or kneeling or whatever physical posture is suitable to you and just gazing at a computer screen. It's not just endlessly thinking about something. Get on with life, but make sure it's the life that the Lord is giving you to live. That's the challenge. And finally, I think this is the fourth thing I said. There were five I meant four. Guard yourselves. Let's finish by looking at a very similar passage similar to Mark 13. You'll find it in Luke chapter 21. And we'll finish briefly with this. Luke chapter 21 and verse 32. Take heed to yourselves. Watch for yourself. Friends, it's not just a question of guarding or watching what is going on out there. We need to guard our own hearts. Proverbs says, guard your own heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the Lord Jesus, picking up the same thing, says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overtaken by what my version says, surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. You know, maybe the list I've read to you from Romans 13 and some of these things here, you can say, well, that doesn't affect me. But what about the cares of this life? You know, we can get so, you know, these are the things that are the thorns that will choke the word and stop you watching, as well as stop you being fruitful. The cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare will it come on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch therefore, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And so the Lord Jesus says to his disciples very clearly here, guard yourselves, or in the words of Mark 13, take heed, as well as watch, and as well as pray. Well, this is the command to us all. Heard this before? Yes, some of you. Doing it? I can't answer that. But there is a need for us to be reminded of these things. at least from time to time, I believe. Because the Lord has given us his word in order that we may not be found sleeping when he comes. In order that we may not be overtaken by either events in the world or even just events in our own lives. But that we may be those who are vigilant and who awake and who see what the Lord is doing and work with him and run with it. Shall we pray, please?